I believe life is one big spiritual creative experience, and everything that we do, whether it's start a business, write a book, fall in love, or I don't know, pull a bunch of tarot cards, has a little spiritual lesson wrapped up inside of it. I'm obsessed with trying to understand the mysteries of the world, from the arcane to the mundane, and unboxing as many spiritual lessons as I can. And on the 12th house, we're going to explore all of that. So let's get into it together.
All right. Welcome back, 12th House Plus. We love you so much, and we're so grateful that you're here, mostly because I said this to Michelle fully off mic, but it's the truth. I love doing these episodes. I'm stoked to get to talk to my friend and all of you.
They're just fun. It's just shooting the shit. Podcasting. That's podcasting show business, baby.
I was thinking about it in where we left off last green room. We went in all sorts of different directions. We went to New York for a portion of that, a large portion of it, and we told stories, and it was great, but we didn't really get to our hyperfixation lists, and I think we both had one then, and I know I teased Shoehorn, and I know we also mentioned that we were going to a event together that night. We went to this tea house ceramic situation, which was great. Maybe we'll even get into. I haven't even told you about the pieces that I picked up, the couch that I tried to make, and I'm using air quotes for people listening because it's a real abstract couch.
Dying to hear how that went, because when I got mine, I brought them home and Ethan was like, "Is this chocolate?" And I was like, "No, it's not chocolate. It's not chocolate. It's ceramics that I made." And he was like, "Oh, yeah, totally see it." Okay, great.
When you sent that to the group chat, that really had me laughing, especially when I saw the photo, because the photo really, Ethan was right, is really all I can say.
Yeah. I was annoyed, but also because he was right. That was why I was annoyed. It's like, God damn it.
Well, when we got there, we arrived we were leaving, and I commended Michelle and our other friend. I was like, "Oh, good on you for thinking that this might be a shoes off situation and wearing slip on shoes." And you both were like, "Oh, I didn't even think about that." And I made the joke, "Well, really wish I had my Shoehorn right now."
Yeah. Okay. When I think Shoehorn, I think Little Princess, the book and the movie, where they have to lace up the shoes and they need a shoehorn to get the foot in the boots. That's what
remember that.
My dad being a stockbroker and wearing really like tight dress shoes and needing a shoehorn to get his feet into these big old shoes. So tell me how shoehorn, haven't heard that name in 25 years. Why is it so in your purview?
I've been teasing this to you for a whole month now.
I know. Okay, I'm dying to know about it.
I have divided my hyperfixations into three categories. One we'll get to later, which is I have been sick for the past little bit. So I have some sick person, common cold related hyperfixations, which we'll get to. One related to that are suggestions for one of my youngest friends, Rhodes, probably my youngest friend, Rhodes, Michelle's son. So baby related, oddly. And then the third category, which is what Shoehorn falls under, is grandfather category.
Oh, okay, great. So it's sort of like a Benjamin Button thing.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Well, cool. I unfortunately don't remember the Shoehorn reference in Little Princess, but I'm going to have to get on that. But to your point about your dad, I think that's probably why my grandfather would use them. And so on the grandfather list of hyperfixations, there's a couple things. One of them are handkerchiefs, which I got very into when I lived in New York, because when my grandfather died, I inherited a bunch of he always used handkerchiefs. And I honestly thought it was like kind of gross. I'm like, "You're going to wipe your nose and you're going to put that into your pocket and carry it around and use that again."
Well, you do eventually. It's not like you take them out every day and you wash them, right?
Right. But, you know, 9 to 5, let's say, that's, and you know, this is pre-COVID.
That's a lot of snot. You're going to go through that thing.
Exactly. But then when I was in New York and I wasn't sick, and I just, you know, that feeling when it's so cold outside and your nose is just, it's just water. Like, it's not even gross. It's just like condensation from the body, essentially.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I would use them for that. And I was like, oh, this is great. This is sustainable. This is ahead of its time. This is incredible. So I got kind of into it. And then I wanted a party favor for this party I was throwing for Let It Out. And so I thought it would be funny to make whoopee cushions, but I didn't have the time to do that. So I made handkerchiefs that said Let It Out.
Yeah, totally adjacent. It's like if I can't have a whoopee cushion, handkerchief.
I know. I mean, you get to like let out the snot. It kind of it was a bit of a stretch. The whoopee cushions is way more fun. And who knows, maybe I'll do that someday. But anyway, so I'm thinking of like, what are some other things like that? Like I just, for some reason, this was coming to my mind like a couple months ago and it hit me. I was like, oh, he always used a shoehorn. Maybe my aunt has like some of his old shoehorns. Like maybe she could send me some. So I ask my aunt and I'm like, hey, do you have any of his like cool vintage? Like I just thought that'd be like a cool thing to have from my grandfather. And I was very close with him. He was raised me like a dad kind of. And she was like, oh yeah. Let me look. Let me see what I got. And then she's like, oh, I have his most prized shoehorn. Like this was his favorite. This is his favorite shoehorn. And I'm like, cool. I'm gonna get some like vintagey cool shoehorn. This is gonna be great. Michelle, she sends me the shoehorn that was like an orthopedic variety. I happened to bring it right here into the studio. It's like the last shoehorn he had before he died that like when he couldn't bend over. Yeah. And so it's like they ordered it.
Those are legit. That's amazing.
So I'm holding this like – it's like a baton. It's long. It's like – it's the size of a cane. But I will say I just was like, oh my God, this is not at all what I want. This is not vintage. This is like from 2019. But I've been using it, and let me tell you, it is a godsend. I keep it in my car, and when I go hiking, I wear these like big triple black Hokas, as you know, that you've seen me walking in, and I have two pairs of them, and they're disgusting. They're covered with dirt. Untying them is a real nightmare. And so now I just pull this thing out in a parking lot and shove my foot right in. Wow. I don't have to touch the dirty laces.
That's really smart, because I was thinking like, what use could she possibly have for a shoehorn unless she's wearing like Victorian boots or I don't know, something like, you, no offense, but you just don't really seem like a high heels person or that type of person. So I was like, interesting, because you do so much walking. I figured your shoes must be comfortable, but that totally makes sense for the athletic shoe.
I'm trying to bring them back. When I went to Colorado, I brought it with me. And my friend's husband liked it so much that he was like, can we keep this? And I was like, no, I'm going to order you one. And I Amazoned like, him one.
This is my grandfather's. It is imbued with energy. That's important. You don't get to just keep it.
I'm going to get you one. Would you take a shoehorn for a spin?
I would. I'm like, okay. Yeah, sure. I would. Although I think I probably can like steal one from my dad because I think he has more than one.
Work on that. Report back.
He doesn't have
next
an orthopedic
time.
One. He has like a regular, I don't know. They're probably like a foot long. And I remember his being like tortoise shell.
Beautiful. That's what I wanted.
Well, if I can find it, I'll. Because now I was thinking about this in preparation of this episode. It's like, I wonder if he even uses shoehorns anymore because he wears these like basically like slip-on shoes all the time that look like dress shoes, but they're not. That's like what all the guys in the office wear. So I'm like, he probably has no need for a shoehorn. He probably never wears like those old wingback loafers, something like that. Love that repurposing. I wonder what else you could use a shoehorn for other than the athletic shoes of it all.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I honestly haven't used it for anything other than slipping on my Hokas, but and like basically anytime I don't want to tie my shoe, everything else kind of goes on easy, so I don't have a use for it, but I don't have time to tie my shoes.
Who does?
Can't really be bothered.
Well, the thing about tying your shoes and then, you know, retying them is if you don't have a super like firm double knot, which you have to do, otherwise your shoes get unlaced, which is annoying, and then they get really dirty. But undoing the double knot, tough stuff to take the shoe off.
Mm-hmm. I know. That's the conundrum. And that's a problem that this device solves. So, you know, you heard it here, trying to bring back shoehorns.
I think we need more of that. We need to look at the sort of old gadgets of yore. You know, like what was the ChatGPT of 1920? you know, that really made things easier for everyone and thought, everyone thought, wow, this, what a technological advance. What a nifty little trick. That's what we need more of. Like, I don't know, can openers, something like that.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, that was a preview of the 12th House Plus content. Just a little sneaky snack. If you like that, if you want more, if you want to hear the whole story, you can subscribe on Apple Podcasts or on Spotify Podcasts at the very top of the page where you would subscribe in general for the podcast. It's $5.99 a month, and we'd love to have you.